Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Throw Podcast. Today we are talking Ripple XRP, Craig Satoshi Wright, Burge stealing the limelight, and finally in our main topic, we're discussing the coins of the summer. That's right, our top five. Throw a Podcast, starting now.
Welcome to Thriller with Car Gonzalez, broadcasting from Austin, Texas, via SoundCloud and supported by listeners like you. It's time for the news. 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 Thriller with Car Gonzalez.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting week of Thriller Podcasts. I missed you. I missed you very much. With that, let's get started into the news. So first up, we got XRP as security. Major Ripple debates explained. So if we look up what a cryptocurrency is, according to Webster Dictionary, a formal definition remains hard to pin down. What's unclear, though, is exactly what the word itself was coined. Bitcoin, the world's first such cryptographically backed asset, is probably the answer that most often springs up. Well, now people are talking about XRP because it just broke out sideways trading, went from 30 cents to 40 cents, and then soon receded. Now it's around 40, 50, around 45, 50 cents around there. But to remind everybody, Ripple is not a cryptocurrency, according to a BitTalk user. He just reminded everybody that I don't call this a cryptocurrency. It's not currency. Even Brad Garlinghouse, of the CEO of Ripple, has said that. But we do know Ripple is centralized, and they're getting a ton of FUD right now because the inevitable of them showing up on Coinbase has not happened. They went as far as bribing Coinbase and as bribing Genesis, and they still can't get on any of these exchanges. It's kind of been tough, and there's more FUD being thrown at Ripple right now. And it kind of sucks because I'm a major holder of Ripple. I know a lot of you guys are as well. I personally thought it would show up on Coinbase, but the fact that it hasn't begs me to think that, you know, maybe this is going to take a lot longer than we think. But if you stay tuned to the rest of this episode, I have some good news. That's right. On to our next topic. So it also looks like Overstock's T0 unveils token trading platform prototype. So the blockchain subsidiary of e-commerce giant Overstock has revealed the prototype for its soon-to-be-launched token trading platform. So they unveiled it on Monday, and check out their video demonstration.
Now, if a user wanted to just buy a T0 security token, they would click on the company or the symbol, and it will auto-populate the order ticket. Or users can just type in the symbol that they are looking to trade. Now, you can see in the order ticket the bid, the ask, and the last sale. If the user would like to place a buy order, all they need to do is enter the quantity, the token price, and press buy. The order is received, and you can see that the bid is reflected in the market data. Now, if the user would like to place an order to buy tokens with an aggressive order, they would enter in the quantity and a new limit price. Now they place the buy order.
Yeah, they couldn't have picked the worst guy to do the commentary. On this thing, man. I mean, don't get me wrong. The interface looks majestic. It looks nice. It's a very clean interface. They have like everything all together, the team that they put together, everything, even them talking about it says, we anticipate the security token trading software will be ready to trade security tokens in May, subject to developing further regulatory clarity. We have been working hard on getting this prototype right and look forward to user feedback. I would highly suggest Overstock, if you're listening to this, and you probably are, this is Thriller Car. You need somebody with a really good voice to do these overviews on your presentations. It's just awful. And nothing against that guy. I'm sure my voice is not the best sounding voice in podcasting. But I will say, though, there is something to say about voice and video. And if the voice just sounds awful like that guy's voice does, no offense to him, it's not going to drive anybody there. I'm just telling you, I'm looking at it from the millennial perspective. You guys want young people on your platform. This is what it's going to take. You need a little bit more style in there. There's substance. I see the substance, but you need a little more style. You want a feedback. That's your feedback. Get on it. Hire me. I'll do it. you want me to narrate your thing? I'll narrate it for you. You know, just pay for a sponsorship for the full year. And we'll take care of that for you. I'm totally not kidding either. Okay, So next up, we got hating on Craig Satoshi Wright has united crypto. So Satoshi or not, it's been a rough week for Craig Wright. Everybody knows this guy. 2015, he boldly claimed that he was Bitcoin's creator, and people didn't believe him. Actually, no one believed him. It's funny enough, though, we did a recent episode on Bitcoin Year One last week, and hopefully you guys listened to it. It's just one of those things where, like, this guy, he came out of nowhere. He doesn't resemble the people. He doesn't resemble Satoshi Nakamoto or the person that we thought would be him. He doesn't have a history in cryptography. He's not somebody that is known inside the cypherpunk space. So it's kind of one of those things where he doesn't look the type. If anything, he's well known, and this is not anything that I've looked up, but just from what's been reported, he's a well known. I would hate to say con artist because I don't think he's a con artist, but he definitely has that image attached to him, unfortunately. And like I said, I don't know if that's true or not. I never met the man, but according to a lot of people that know him or are aware of him, they say those words. Not Thriller Podcast, not Car. I'm just reporting the news. So, because I don't like to make anybody upset, especially if I've never met him. But I will say, though, a lot of people are turning their back on him. Everybody knows last week when Vitalik, we played the video last week where Vitalik, you know, told him that he was a fraud and how is he allowed to be able to speak at the conference. And then Joseph Poon, who's co-inventor of Lightning Network, he even said, we don't understand what you're talking about. And the guy wrote the Lightning Network paper. And so there's just tons of people that are attacking him. And it's kind of crazy because now, like, even the inclusive community that's on Wright's defense are saying the same thing. They're saying, regardless of whether he's Satoshi or not, and whether he's even right or wrong about various technical points, I think it's unfair to accuse him of a fraud because claiming to be Satoshi isn't fraud. I would disagree. And he also said, also giving away tons of money to various Bitcoin Cash endeavors doesn't seem like a fraud either. I don't know. It's just one of those things. I feel like if he was actually Satoshi, he could have proved it a different way. And I think that's where a lot of people are arguing. Yeah. Anyways, on to the next piece of news. So now we have Vitalik. He's opposing the fork to disable Ethereum ASICs. So Vitalik Buterin has come out against a proposal that would fine the blockchain he created, changing its software limit to the performance of mining hardware designed to yield a greater cut of network rewards. So he said, getting everybody to upgrade is likely to be fairly chaotic and detract from more important things. So at this point, I personally lean quite significantly towards no action. So there you go. He's not gonna change anything. He's gonna leave it the way it is. So if they want to come out with Ethereum ASIC miners, then guess what? They're gonna come out with them. Next up, we got Verge. Everybody wants to hear about Verge. Yes, I'm still holding. Just for the record, I haven't sold. It's currently right now. It's mooning. It's mooning. It's trying to get up to 8 cents here, and yeah, it's crazy. it's nuts. I'm not gonna lie, how nuts this is. Just because. Verge is definitely not the currency that everybody's rooting for. Everybody's rooting against this currency, and I think that's one of the reasons I root for it. Not intentionally, but it's one of those where it very much takes a lot of FUD. Like, a lot of people attack it. I personally don't think it's such a bad coin, but I'm in the minority, I'm sure. Like, every cryptocurrency out there has its own little quirks, and we can go down the list and I could give you a ton of them. But honestly, FUD is what makes a cryptocurrency these days. You have to have a little FUD. You have to have a little dirt on your back. It's when you don't have that dirt that people, you know, just disregard you entirely. So the fact that they're getting all this much attention and the fact that they have become the talk of the town recently here on Reddit and pretty much everywhere is pretty crazy. They have announced last week that TokenPay was going to be making a debit card for your cryptocurrency and for your Verge coin. So everybody thinks that's the announcement that's going to happen here on the 17th, but it's not. It definitely is not. But what I did find out was the person that is the CEO of TokenPay, he's the one that kind of orchestrated this partnership with Verge, and people are still trying to figure out who that partnership is with. We've heard tons of people talk about how Amazon could be the partnership. We have heard other people say that Airbnb might be the partnership, or Uber might be the partnership. We've also heard, you know, there's the porn industry. People think the porn industry is going to be the partnership with Verge. No one knows. But I will say one thing, that if everybody knows for a fact that the guy who introduced Verge and or Justin, the lead developer and the founder of Verge, to this partner, this so-called worldwide partner, the CEO of TokenPay introduced them to him. So if I'm looking at this from a, you know, I want to find out more insider information, where I would go is I would go to that guy. I would go to the CEO of TokenPay, look through all, scrub all his information, find out who he knows, who he contacts, you know, any other stuff like that. I'm not saying to go hack him or anything. Please don't do that. I'm just saying that if you wanted to find out who the partnership was, it wouldn't be that hard. You just got to look at who he's following on Twitter, who he's talking to on Twitter, who's he talking to on LinkedIn, who's he following on LinkedIn, you know, simple stuff like that, just simple stuff like that. And I think you could find out who the partner is just by that, because in this space, in the cryptocurrency space, it's all about who you know. It really is. And when I went to the crypto summit this past, or 2 months ago or a month ago, I realized that it's all who you know in this space, and it's very much pay to play. You very much have to pay to play. So I think it's one of those things where if we find out who it is and it doesn't turn out to be as big as everybody thought it was going to be, like if it's not an Uber or an Airbnb, I think you're going to see this coin just plummet. So if I was you, right now it's at 7 cents. And what I'm going to do, and this is, again, this is not financial advice, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to cash out half of my Verge, because I think I have like 6,000 at this point. I'm going to cash out half, recoup all the money that I've invested in it, and then let the other 3,000 ride until the announcement. And then depending on what the announcement is, I'll keep it or sell it. But I want to do that right now. I actually want to sell my Verge at 7 cents, because it's currently at 7 cents, going to 8 cents right now. I do want to sell it at that price. I just feel like it's going to get to 10 cents before it pulls back. And that's just how I predicted it. You guys know last week when we talked about it, I said that, you know, Verge was going to go to, I think it was at 3 cents initially. I said it's going to get to 7 cents, then it's going to pull back to 5, which it did. And then it's going to get to 9 cents, and it's going to pull back to 7, which it looks like it's going to get to 8 cents right now. It'll probably get to 8 cents and then pull back. And then eventually it's going to get to 12, pull back. I think by Sunday night, we should be around 15, 16 cents, unless news starts happening where people start finding out who it is beforehand, which I think is very likely to happen. I honestly think that the secret is not going to be able to be held up until next Tuesday. I really think the secret, or the partnership, who it's going to be, is going to leak out somewhere around Saturday or Sunday, and that's going to either pump it or that's going to dump it. So just be on the lookout for that, because I really think that's going to happen. And if I was you, which I'm going to do, is I'm going to sell half my Verge stake here on Saturday or Sunday. I'm going to try to hold out that long, and then I'm going to let the rest ride and see what happens. But we'll be talking about it all week, most definitely. And next up in the news, because that was kind of long, sorry, is XRP ICO. So people are talking about how Ripple's XRP ledger and a small group of coders are seeking to be among the first people to create an ICO on Ripple. Everybody knows Ripple is not a decentralized blockchain yet. So a lot of what they're doing is being built on top of their nodes. And so Ripple has come out and they've basically said, XRP Ledger is open source and a decentralized platform, so people can build whatever they want, but Ripple isn't interested in promoting or supporting ICOs on the Ledger. Yeah, I don't think they're going to be successful doing that. I just wanted to bring that up. Next up, we have the biggest news of the weekend, because this is something that everybody was waiting for, and this is something that I predicted earlier this year. This is obvious, and I'm sure a lot of you knew this too as well. Rockefeller's VC's arm, Venrock, partners with CoinFund. Exec highlights focus on long term. So Venrock, the official venture capital arm of the Rockefeller family, one of the top five richest families in the entire world. People think they're the Illuminati with the Rothschilds and all the other, you know, the Morgans, all those type of families. People think that, you know, 3 to 5 families rule the entire world, which is probably likely. I could see that being a possibility. But people are saying that they're getting involved in cryptocurrency now, and they're getting involved in blockchain business innovation. according to Fortune. There are really patient long-term investors. We're wondering what happens over the next 5 to 10 years. Can we have fundamental change to a number of different markets because of a distributed ledger, a token economy that all participants can take part in? They also said it may finally be possible to build widely distributed networks without centralized trust or control and to allow user consensus to govern their future. In this scenario, commodity applications like messaging, social media, application infrastructure like file storage and compute power, much like public utilities, and they are owned and governed by their own participants. Yeah, we all knew this was happening. We knew that the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and all these rich families were going to get involved into crypto. I was hoping that they weren't. I was hoping they were just going to pass it off, but it looks like, you know, turns out when you print out as much fiat as you want, it's very easy for you to, you know, buy crypto with it. And it's probably one of the reasons why they become so rich, right? So they're not missing out on things, you know, just because they don't believe in the technology. They follow the money. That's news. And I think that's the main reason why we've been seeing crypto go up this weekend. Next up, I just want to mention this last thing because I think this is really important. It looks like the electronics giant Foxconn is building their own blockchain phone. So the Android-based smartphone called the Finny is being built from the ground up with special features that should appeal to cryptocurrency enthusiasts, including an app store for distributed apps called dApps and a secure storage for crypto wallet keys and simple conversion between tokens. According to Bloomberg, Finny is expected to start shipping in October for around $1,000. Sirian said that over 25,000 Finnies have been pre-ordered so far, and the company is eyeing a sales target of 2018. And they have raised $157 million since December. And most notably, Finny will have a secure part of its hardware for a cryptocurrency that is enabled via a physical switch. And one more last thing, by licensing the phone's technical advances to other phone makers, Sirian hopes the price for Finny could later fall possibly as low as $200. This is big, guys. Imagine having, you know, your own Android phone and your own iPhone and having this technology built right in. Now, they haven't gone into the specifics, and I need to do a little bit more research to find out how they're actually going to implement all this. It would probably be like on a secure chip or something, I would imagine, that maybe could be pulled out. Who knows? But it's very interesting to think that we are moving towards a decentralized space. It's just cool. And I'm definitely going to reach out to them and see if we can get somebody here on the show or possibly get our hands on a phone. That would be cool because I definitely want to buy one. If I could afford it, I would buy one, but it'd be much better just to borrow one. And lastly, this is the last one, I promise. The Bitcoin Twitter account is back. So apparently it got suspended and people are accusing Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter and the CEO of Square, that because basically what happened after 24 hours, this guy from Russia stole the Bitcoin account. He grabbed it first, and then Jack Dorsey pulled it from him, and they're blaming him, and now they're saying that it got returned to its original owner. So yeah, all else, it's great to see Bitcoin respond back to normal things now. I know I've used that in the past and not have heard anything. But it has been a great weekend in crypto, and I think all the news is good news. And with that, let's get into our interesting video of the day.
Cars. Interesting video of the day.
All right, we got an interesting video of the day. Today it's coming from Jed McCaleb. He was on CNBC. I'm not sure how I missed this, but he was on CNBC 2 weeks ago, and he happened to drop a little knowledge on everybody. And turns out he got cut off at the end because he said these truthful things about Ripple. And you guys know how CNBC is pumping the shit out of Ripple. They just do. It's just commonplace now that it's kind of funny in a sense that, you know, CNBC tries so hard to pump Ripple. Anyway, doesn't matter. What I'm saying is he literally says something about Ripple in a negative way, slightly, but not really, just telling the truth. And the CNBC person just cut him off, check this out.
But. All right, let's move on to the platforms, because your history is basically that you co-founded Ripple and then you moved on to co-found Stellar because of certain differences in opinion, philosophy differences that you wanted to operate the platform on. So can you tell us what the key differences are between Ripple and Stellar? Because a lot of people think of these two as the preferred platforms for the financial services industry.
Yeah, right. So what we're trying to build at Stellar is an internet-level protocol, and I think it's important that that be done by a nonprofit entity. Like, if you imagine the internet created by a for-profit company, we would just be in a very different world. And that's essentially what we're trying to do, is make it where payments works, how information works on the internet now, where you everything's interoperable, you can send money to anywhere. And so you kind of just need this kind of governance and structure that wasn't really done in Ripple. And kind of beyond that, it's important to have lots and lots of participants in the network, not just a few. So one of the things that we're doing in Stellar is distributing the underlying asset, the underlying coin, like, very widely. And I think that that's a kind of a key thing to actually make these things successful.
I mean, one of the interesting things is that one of the just sort of the forces within the crypto community is this notion that things should be decentralized, right? And the case is made that Ripple is a much more centralized sort of platform because it's got and it seeks to partner with some of the biggest financial institutions out there, where Stellar is nonprofit and sees itself as less centralized or decentralized. Tell us why that is an advantage from a user standpoint, or from a bank standpoint, for instance, who wants to operate something on the platform. Why is that an advantage?
Right. I mean, it's less. That's more of a technical consideration. Mm-hmm. So, technically, the consensus algorithm of Ripple lends itself to it's very hard to run nodes outside. Like Ripple Labs, like, so they're running the majority of the nodes, which it should be concerning for people, right? Because basically you're ended up with a system that's no better than Swift or PayPal, one of these centralized systems. The real vision here is that you have a network much like the internet that anyone can participate in. There's not one central entity that could kind of decide that it's going to start charging or just, right. Start to, that should be of utmost concern to people. Like, this is the way that this thing can actually grow and reach ubiquity. Like, the only other kind of network we've seen do that is the internet, and it's important that it is open. Like, that's the key component.
Sure.
And distributed. So,
Jed, unfortunately, we're out of time today. We hope you come back to Fast Money. We'd love to hear from you again. Jed McCaleb, the co-founder of Stellar.
So you guys hear that? He literally was just speaking the truth about Ripple, and sure enough, they just cut him off. It was hilarious that the CNBC, and he has this look on his face like, are you serious? Like, cutting me off? But yeah, I mean, everybody knows CNBC does a really good job of promoting Ripple. They do that on a daily basis. They've went as far as, put two people in the same broadcast, Coinbase and, Brad Garlinghouse, of the CEO of Ripple, into the same, 30-minute segment. And then, it caused the price of Ripple to soar. This is what I'm saying. Like, it's very obvious. It's very obvious to me where CNBC is putting a lot of money at. Anyways, it doesn't matter. But I just thought that was interesting that they are doing that. So just be aware of, if you're watching CNBC every day and you're getting your crypto news from CNBC, might want to think about that a little bit differently now. All right, let's get into Coin Talk.
It is time. Everything you have been waiting for.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a few days. We didn't have a show Thursday. We didn't have a show Friday because I've been studying for my test. And let me tell you, I've been going nonstop, guys. I literally all day Thursday night, just study till about midnight. All day Friday night, study till about midnight. Saturday and Sunday, I did nothing but study from like 9:30 a.m. till about midnight or till about 1 or 2. I've just been going hard on my studying. Today, again, I'm doing studying after the podcast. Tuesday, Wednesday, same thing. We're going to be out another Thursday and Friday. I promise. Those are going to be the last 2 days, Thursday and Friday of this week. We're not going to have a show, but it's good because I'm going to be studying for my test. And hopefully everything goes well. And then we can go back to our normal broadcast. If it doesn't go well, looks like Throw a Car might have to continue to study for that same test. It's just one of those things where I'm one of those people that if I don't succeed at first, I don't get discouraged. If anything, I get more like, I get more hyped. I love the pressure. So it's kind of one of those things where if I fail at first, I go back again and try. I'm very persistent. And I don't really care about embarrassing myself, obviously, as you guys know. but I will say, thank you guys so much for all the support. We got a lot of people in Telegram saying, don't worry about it. You know, take your test. A couple people messaged me over the weekend saying, hey, good luck on your test. Keep studying. You know, study hard. Also had people on Twitter talking to me through DMs and Instagram through DMs telling me good luck and stuff and not to worry about the show on Thursday and Friday this weekend, last week. So I just want to tell all y'all who've been sending me these messages, thank you so much. That means the world to me. Because I love doing this show. Like, this is one of the things, like, I realized this weekend, like, just learning, not looking at crypto as much as I probably shouldn't have, but not looking at crypto as much this weekend. I'm like, man, I really miss it. And I really understand, like, why I love doing the show by not doing it for 2 days. Even though, like, regular people who do podcasts and regular people who do YouTube videos, they only really do, like, 3 times a week where they'll do a show. But me, I'm so used to doing it 5 times a week now to where it feels like something's missing out of my day. I don't know how to explain it. I do have a couple things I want to let you guys know. So currently right now, we're in the middle of possibly getting a sponsor for our Amsterdam trip. So as you know, I have said that we're going to be heading out to the Blockchain Expo in Amsterdam coming up in June, at the end of June. Turns out we might have a sponsor for that. So it's one of those things where I'm seriously looking at, you know, having them be a sponsor on the show so we could pay for, you know, the hotel stay and the airfare for Amsterdam. So, you know, we might have a sponsor here in May and in June, for sure in June, but we might have one in May as well. So just want to let you guys know that if you hear sponsor one day, don't freak out. It's not the end of Thriller Podcast. We're not selling out or anything. This is merely to help pay for the trip to Amsterdam. Because to be honest with you guys, like, I make enough money to pay for me and my wife's bills and stuff like that, and, you know, our house and everything like that. But it's kind of one of those things where we don't really have the extra money to be, like, going on, you know, trips like this and, you know, going here and there, and, you know, and I only have so much time off of work and stuff like this. So it's kind of one of those things where I'm picking certain things that I want to attend, you know, outside the United States. And yeah, so it's kind of one of those things where I'm slowly coming to the realization that I really love doing this. I really love doing this podcast. I love talking to y'all, and I really love doing this. I would like to do this long term, for as long as possible, or as long as I'm granted to, you know. So it's just wanted to give you guys a heads up that that might happen. But what we'll do is I'll let you guys know ahead of time that, hey, we're going to have a sponsor for this month, and I'll introduce them and all this stuff. I'm not going to say who the sponsor is just because, you know, I don't, it might not go through. So we might end up having to pay for the trip out of pocket, which I'm going to have to do by selling my Verge. Hopefully Verge keeps going up and that'll help pay for the trip. But don't get me wrong. I'd rather have a sponsor because I honestly, the sponsor that we're looking at, they're actually somebody that I respect. So that's cool too. You know, it's kind of one of those things where, like, I wouldn't want to do a sponsor with just anybody. Like if Budweiser came up to me and be like, hey, we want to do a sponsor on your show, promote Budweiser. I would be like, no, thanks. You know what I mean? And it's not ICO related either. It's actually a pretty good, it couldn't have been a better sponsor, honestly, for the show, because it makes sense. Anyways, also want to do that. Another thing I want to bring up is Tone Vase. Tone Vase is coming here to Austin on Saturday. And old Thriller Carr is trying his best to get an interview with him. This guy is an elusive guy. I'm just saying. No, he's actually a really cool guy. If you guys watch his videos, he's one of the most prominent crypto traders in the entire space right now. If you're anybody who daily trades or is looking to trade and you're looking for advice, or, you know, first up, go to our Telegram, talk to Matthew. He definitely knows his stuff. If you can't get a hold of Matthew, which is probably, you're not trying hard enough, because he's there all the time. But Tone Vase is one of those guys where he's just, he's everywhere, and he's doing these speakings around the globe, and he's talking and he's teaching the ways of his trading. And so he's coming to Austin. I'm reaching out to him. I'm trying my best to get an interview for you guys because I want to ask him some questions that I know a lot of you probably want answers to. And yeah, I can't wait to meet him. I hope that we can get in contact with him because it would be cool. So look out for that. That'll probably drop this weekend. If it doesn't drop this weekend, it's because I'm studying for my test, but it's going to drop either sometime this weekend if it goes through, but I'll tweet it out. Another thing I should mention too. So on these days that I'm off, I'm really not doing a lot of like Thriller stuff, you know? So if you guys want to reach out to me or get a hold of me, I'm available through Twitter or through Instagram. Those two primary ways are the best ways to get a hold of me. Telegram too as well. But honestly, Telegram I'll look at. I'll usually run during the day when I'm like, you know, working or something. But if I'm not in there during the day, then that means I'm probably busy working. So, but if you guys send me a direct message through a tweet or send me an at reply through a tweet, I usually see it because I'm constantly on Twitter reading up on news. Or through Instagram too. I'm constantly on Instagram, you know, talking to people through DMs or something. So if you guys want to reach out to me, those are probably the best ways. And then of course, you can always reach out to me through email as well. But I appreciate all y'all's support through this. You know, this test means a lot to me and my family. So it's kind of one of those things that if I pass this test, old Thriller Card gets a raise. So he needs to pass this test so he can buy more crypto, right? Because that's what we do. And I think that's all I wanted to bring up. Oh, also wanted to bring up. So on Thursday, we got a lot of people sending me messages about how great the Bitcoin Year One podcast was last Wednesday's episode, Bitcoin Year One. I worked really hard on it. I stayed up till about 9:30, 10 o'clock. We did a lot of, not too much research because most of the stuff we already knew. But I did my best to put together a thorough account of Bitcoin Year One. And a lot of you guys responded really well. So that was surprising because I didn't know how people were going to react to me covering the history of Bitcoin because I didn't know if that was something that people wanted. But apparently it went out really well. I think it's one of my best, honestly. I don't think I've ever produced a better quality podcast. Or inside the main topic, I mean, everybody knows I stumbled through the news. I'm getting better at it, but I stumbled through the news and I kind of rant my way through Coin Talk. But for the most part, like when it comes to main topics, I usually focus in on those as best as I can. Getting better at it. But a lot of people were super stoked about my presentation on Bitcoin Year One. So thank you to a lot of you who listened to it and liked it, because that's what it's all about. I'm just trying to get the knowledge out there. We're going to do a Bitcoin Year Two because we're going to do the whole years. We're going to do all the years. So we'll probably do Bitcoin Year Two coming up here in the next couple of months. I just wanted to make sure we got Year One out of the way so that way we can kind of do these. And then eventually we'll do Ethereum Year One. Ethereum Year Two, where we'll just capsule them in their little tiny segments of what went on that first year, just so you guys can understand the history of crypto, because that's all we're trying to do. We're just trying to build out the knowledge and stuff like that, just because I really feel like a lot of people that are young that listen to other people in the YouTube space and other people in the podcast space, they're all just talking about coins, making money, Lambos and stuff like that. And I'm all about that too. Don't get me wrong. I'm all about that too. But for the mass majority of part, there's no one out there teaching the history of crypto or, you know, of cypherpunks or the history of Bitcoin or just anything that has to do with actual knowledge of where this has come from and where it's going. There's really no one speaking to that. A lot of people just tend to focus in on the present. And here at Thriller Podcast, I've never found, well, I'm not going to say never, but I've always found the history of Bitcoin and the history of cryptocurrency and the history of the blockchain technology and where it's headed. I've always found that way more interesting than the all-time highs or than the daily pumps and stuff like that or the ICOs. It's just everybody has their niche. And I realize that that's just my niche. And I've come to accept it and I've come to embrace it more. So be on the lookout for more of those type of podcasts where it's just informative. It's a good story because you guys know, like when it comes to like me putting on a good story, like a 60-minute special, like my favorite story is like the Bitcoin or what was it? The Bitcoin Jesus and the McAfee story. That one is like one of my favorites. And so be on the lookout for more of those. And if you guys have any ideas for those, send them my way. I definitely will listen to anything and everything for a story that you want me to look into, because I'm always digging for historical things about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and where it's all come from and where it's going. Okay, with that long thing, because we need to get that out of the way, there's just a lot of stuff to cover there. Let's go ahead and get into our disclaimer. Hey, yeah.
Remember, Thriller Podcast does not give financial advice. He cannot tell the future, even if he thinks he can. He is just some dude trying to save the world one Satoshi at a time.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gather around. It's time for some coin talk. Man, I missed it. I'm not gonna lie. I missed crypto. I really did. I don't think it's addiction, because I think addiction comes at a point when you're hurting everybody in your life. So I don't think my addiction is crypto, but I do think there is some kind of game here that I love. I think I just love looking at the coin market cap, following what's going on in the news. It kind of reminds me of sports in a lot of ways. And I know I've bashed that in the long run, or a long time ago, when I would say, we can't look at these all like sports teams and like go for one, go for the other. I think we all need to realize we're under one. And I do realize that, but I just love all of these crypto coins. I really do. And I'm starting to realize more and more now as time goes on that I'm really just a collector at this point. I'm not good of a speculator as I thought I was. I mean, I can predict a lot of things just because I've been in the space for a while now, so I know what's going to happen. But I feel more and more now that I'm just becoming a collector and I'm picking the spots. I'm making more prime decisions, I feel like, now than I ever have. I'm only going to get better. So with that, let's get into Bitcoin. Bitcoin is priced at $6,700. We know it went up to $7,300 yesterday and a little bit today. Of course, you know, Rockefeller and the Rothschilds, and I believe George Soros got into cryptocurrency, or they allegedly, you know, came out, or no, not allegedly, they actually came out and said that they are into crypto, or they're buying crypto now through their financial, you know, companies that they own. But to be honest, guys, they've always had their hand in crypto. I think it's naive to think that they did never purchase any crypto before now. I think now it's them having all this coins and them just needing to get the price to rise up and whatever they have to say or do. You know, they know a good pump when they see one, is what I'm saying. So Bitcoin, $6,700. I think we're going to keep seeing the sideways action. I've been telling you, April is all about small gains, and it's going to keep going sideways. Right now, we're not going down. We're not going too high, but eventually what's going to happen, it's going to give, and we're going to reach 7,000, 7,500, and it's going to keep going up. And so if I was you, keep playing this game where you could buy Bitcoin at $6,700, $6,600. Right now is a perfect time to buy it. And then it's going to go up to 73. And then little by little, you can keep purchasing Bitcoin at this amount. I will say this. There is no way, an absolute, I can almost guarantee, almost, not 100%, but almost guarantee that Bitcoin is not going to get to $5,000. I know a lot of people are hoping that it gets to $5,000. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because there's a lot of people who own this space, who own a significant amount of Bitcoin, that's just not going to let it happen. There are going to be people right now, and the further it goes down, they're going to buy it at that price. I'm going to buy it at that price. There's a lot of people that are Bitcoin maximalists, as they're called. So do not worry about Bitcoin. It's taken a beating, but it's taken a beating because people aren't looking at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is we're at a $259 billion market cap right now. That's really fucking good. Like, really good. Not only that, Bitcoin at this price last year was at $2,000. If you held from right now to then, you're making $4,700. What bank account can you purchase can you use to make that much profit in 1 year? None in the entire world. Just not going to happen. Bitcoin, if you buy Bitcoin at this price, you're going to get a profit back. Whether it's, you know, $6,000 or $7,000 by this time next year, you're going to see a profit, whatever it is. So I think people just really need to take a step back and realize that, hey, we're at 111, no, not even 111. We're at a $35 billion market cap last year. Now we're at a $260 billion market cap this year. Come on, guys. Don't believe the FUD. Do not believe it. The people that are FUDing right now are the people that own the vast majority of Bitcoin. They're trying to drive the price down so they can purchase more at this price. I'm telling you, people need to step back and look at this from a bigger picture. Cryptocurrency is big. It's big this year. I would say it's even bigger than last year. It just is. It's a truth. We got Ethereum. Ethereum's at $397. This is a perfect buying opportunity for Ethereum. We got Ripple at 48 cents. We saw Ripple go up 50 cents this past weekend. Got Bitcoin Cash at 636. Bitcoin Cash is going to make a lot of people money. Just letting you know that right now. It's going to make you a lot of money this year. Just letting you know. We got Litecoin at 114 bucks. Litecoin's another one that's going to make a lot of people money this year. I have it projected at $1,000. Have it projected at $1,000 this year. I'm just telling you. EOS at 586. We got Cardano at 15 cents. Stellar at 19 cents. That's a steal. Honestly, if this whole Verge thing wouldn't have happened, I honestly would have purchased more Stellar. Right now, I'm playing the Verge game. And as soon as that game is over, I'm moving all that stack over to Stellar. Because I want to have a nice size stack in Stellar. I have a nice size stack, but I want to have an even bigger stack in Stellar because I believe in that company long term. I got NEO at $51. We got IOTA at 98 cents. Got Monero at $165. We got Dash at $2.97. We got Tron at 3 cents. Tron, that's a steal right there. We got NEM at 22 cents. We got Ethereum Classic at $13. Still waiting for it to go up. Still holding Ethereum Classic. I'm bullish on it. I think Ethereum could easily get to 100 bucks by the end of the year. That's something that I've kind of projected in my head. I think we'll get back to $32 and get past that. I think it'll peak at $100 this year and then kind of slide down to about 75, maybe even get to 150 by the end of the year. Who knows? But I know Ethereum Classic is likely going to become the Litecoin, just like Litecoin became the Bitcoin the silver to Bitcoin, as Ethereum Classic would become the silver to Ethereum. I just believe that. No one's told me that. This is not something that you've heard probably anywhere else, but I just believe Ethereum Classic is going to be the Litecoin for Ethereum. It's just going to play out that way. Verge touching 8 cents right now, up 17%. Guys, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to say that Verge right now is on its own stage. There's a couple ways this is going to play out, and I'm going to give you my total opinion right now. So depending on what Bitcoin does this week is going to play a significant impact in Verge. I hope it didn't, but in reality, it does. So what you're going to have is, if Bitcoin continues to go further down, I'm talking like in the $5,000 range, which I don't think it will, but if it does, you know, let's say hypothetically it does go down, Bitcoin, right? Well, that's going to bring Verge down as well too. It's just the way it is, right? So if that happens, then I think Verge will max out about 12, 14 cents by Sunday. And I think you should sell. Now, if Bitcoin goes up this week, which I'm hoping it does, and when I mean up, I don't mean like significantly up to like $8,000, $9,000. I mean, I would love to see that. I don't think that's going to happen just because it's going to go sideways for a while. April is a sideways month. Its history tells us this. It's going to slowly trickle upwards, slowly. I think at the beginning of May, we'll see Bitcoin back at $9,000, $10,000 again. Maybe even more, but I'm projecting that amount. Just look at history. I will say, if Bitcoin goes up this week, we could see Verge back at 25, 30 cents by Sunday. I'm just saying that could happen. That could very likely happen. If that happens, then right now at 8 cents is a great price to get into Verge if you're looking to double your money. Now, I would have liked you to get into Verge last week when I told you to at 3 cents. That's when I got in. That's when a vast majority of you have gotten in as well. When I said, now's the time to buy. If you listen to last Monday's broadcast or podcast, I literally said, now's the time to buy Verge. Get on the train with me. I told you guys this. It was 3 cents. Now we're sitting at 8 cents. Now Car is looking like a genius right now, but it's not a genius thing. I told you on Monday, like I'll tell you again today, these type of pumps don't come around very often. They come around for people in the know, but for people that are just in crypto, these type of things don't happen very often. They happen maybe 3 times a year. Last year, it happened for Ripple during the summer. It also happened for Verge and Tron for us last year. I think the last one was Icon. I just wasn't in the know about that. And then, of course, Bitcoin Cash was another one last year that happened where it surged. People in the know knew about it. I didn't know about it, so I wasn't in the know. This one, we're in the know about it. Thriller Podcast knows about what's going on with Verge, so I'm telling you about it so you can make money on it. Now, these don't come around very often. I've said that. I'm going to continue to say that, but when they do, you need to make sure to grab on them. And these are the ones that are going to make you the most money in the given year. I mean, or in the short term. There's some that you can hold all year, like Stellar. We're going to hold right now at 15 cents or 20 cents, wherever it's at right now. Actually, here, let me double check that. I think it's at 20 cents. I always get it confused with Cardano. So it looks like it's at 19 cents. So we're going to buy Stellar right now at 19 cents. It's going to be about $1.50, maybe touch $2 by the end of the year. And then it'll crash back down to 85 cents and it'll stay around there. But you're going to make a profit from that. That's a long-term goal for the end of the year, right? But something like Verge, where it's going to pump in over a two-week span, these don't happen very often. They happen maybe 3 times a year. So it's going to play out either one of two ways. Like I said, it's either going to get to 12 cents, which I totally think it can get to 12 cents by Sunday, even if Bitcoin goes down. I think it gets to 12 cents. What it does after that, it's going to depend on who the partnership is with. A lot of people are saying it's Amazon. I don't think it's going to be. Other people are saying it's PayPal. I don't think it's going to be. Now, that'd be great, but I don't think it's going to be. Other people are saying that it's going to be eBay. It wouldn't be crazy, but I don't think that's going to be. I don't think that's going to happen. And lastly, people are saying it's going to be some kind of like porn company, which I definitely is a possibility it could be, but I still don't see why that would be a significant impact. If you listen to the interview, the lead developer, Justin, said that it was going to be an e-commerce site. So who knows? Who knows what it could be? Maybe Shopify, maybe something else around that matter. I'm holding out for something like Airbnb or Uber or Shopify. I'm hoping for something like that, because if it turns out to be something like that, then what I will do is I will probably sell half of my stack, because I have like 5,000 Verge right now, 6,000, somewhere around there. I'll sell half of my stack and then keep the other half and just hold long term. Do you know what I mean? I think that's the best thing you could do if you plan on, or you could just hold the whole thing. But me, I need to get some money for my trip. So this is where that money is coming from. It's coming from Verge. But like I said, if this coin, if it's big, if it's a big partnership, now let me tell you what I mean big. I don't mean like PayPal. Yeah, that would be big, but even then, I don't think that's big. What I mean big, and I mean really big, which I don't think it's going to be, guys. For the record, don't cut this out. I don't want to see this on somebody's YouTube video tomorrow, but for the record, I don't think this is going to happen. But when people say it's going to be big, like the biggest partnership ever, I'm thinking like big. I'm thinking like Microsoft. I'm thinking like Xbox. I'm thinking like PlayStation. I'm thinking like big like that. I'm thinking like Apple, which it's totally not going to be. I'm thinking like Apple. I'm thinking like Google. I'm thinking big like that. I'm thinking like Tesla. Yeah, I know you're like, what? I'm thinking like Amazon. Now, let me just explain this. Don't get all crazy now. I don't want you running over to Bittrex or Binance and buying a shit ton of Verge saying that Thriller Card told you that it's going to be Microsoft, Apple, Xbox, PlayStation, or Tesla, or Amazon. Like, I'm not saying it's going to be those things. But I will say, if it's Tesla, or if it's like somebody like as big as like even Xbox or PlayStation 4, I'm not selling any of my coins. I'm not selling any of them, because that price, like, let's just imagine that it's Tesla, right? The Verge, for whatever reason, Tesla, Elon Musk wants to partner with Verge and have them as their coin of choice. Who knows why? But let's just say that happens, right? The price of Verge would soar so high because it's Tesla. It would be all over the news. It would be Tesla embarks on new thing with blockchain technology, Verge. And people are going to be like, wow, I thought Verge was a shit coin. People are just going to be totally surprised. The price of Verge would go from 7 cents right now to $2 to $5 within a short amount of time. Like within a couple, I would say within a week. Like, and you're probably like thinking right now, like, what are you talking about, Carr? There's absolutely no way. You look at the price of, look at the amount of Verge that's in circulating supply. And I would tell you, yes, I understand, you know, there's a shit ton of Verge out there in circulating supply. But when you have a company as big as Tesla partnering with Verge, that is going to take you onto another stratosphere, because people that are outside investors aren't looking at Verge no longer as a coin. They're looking at Verge as a company, as somebody that they're betting on because Tesla is partnering with them. So this is where I say, I don't think that's going to happen though. For the record, that's not going to happen. But if that does happen, then you're looking at $2 easily this time next week, or actually tomorrow next week, easily. If it's somebody that big, if it's somebody like a Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Tesla, somebody that big. I even think Uber, I would put Uber in that same place. I would say even Uber or an Airbnb, that would be huge. That would be so big that would put Verge right to the top three right away. Because it would be so huge. It would literally make Verge the coin to hold, the most upcoming coin to hold in a short amount of time. And you would see money just flood into the market to buy Verge, and it would pump the price. Remember what happened with Bitcoin Cash, where it went up like $1,000, $1,500 in a short amount of time? That's what would happen to Verge, but on a smaller scale. You would see it go from 7 cents to like $2 or $3, peak at like $4 or $5, and then crash back down to like $2 or $3 just because of a partnership that big. And even then, I probably wouldn't sell, because at that point, what are you doing? That's going to be worth even more money when it finally gets released and rolled out. It's going to go up. It's going to turn into a top five coin you want to hold long term, just like people are holding Ethereum and Bitcoin, because it has that big of a partner. Over time, it would drop, but that big of a partner could put Verge on another thing. And at that point, you're going to have a lot of Verge millionaires, let me tell you. So I did want to get all that out, because I've been holding that all weekend, and I've been holding that this past week, and I've told my wife about my theories, and she's just tired of it at this point. So I needed to get it out to you guys, so you know where I'm standing on it. Like I said, I don't think the big partnerships like that are going to happen. I just don't think so. I think the most we could hope for is like an eBay or like a Shopify. I think that's the most we could hope for. I think at the very least it'll be like a Reddit or like a Steam. You know what I mean? I think Steam is probably the most likely scenario. I feel like if Verge became the coin of choice, the cryptocurrency of choice for Steam, I still think that would be a good hold long term as well. I think that would drive a lot more people to use Verge. I don't think it would pump the price higher than like 30 cents though. So I would probably sell half my stack and then keep the other half long term. But I think that's a significant partnership as well. I don't think it would crack the top 10. I think it would get to like the top 12, top 15 around there. So, but I think that's more likely. I think being on Steam or even like Reddit or who like something that kind of partnership, I think is more likely. I don't think Reddit would do it personally, but I do think like somebody like Steam would, or another company like that, or maybe like can't think of anything off the top of my head, but somebody small like that. Not, I mean, they're big, don't get me wrong, Steam's big, but I don't think it's that big. And I mean Steam the gaming platform, not the crypto site or the blockchain website. So that's all I have on Verge. I just want to give you guys my 2 cents. I will say though, if we're still at 10 cents by Sunday, we're still at 10 cents around there, I think you should sell and take your profits. I think now you should sell because you already doubled your profits. I should sell, but me, you know the way I am. I like to gamble, so I'm holding out for more. But yeah, I think right now is a perfect time to sell. You doubled your profit. That's what crypto's about, right? Or at least crypto coin is about. You want to make some money. Well, you've already doubled your profit right now if you got in last week at this time. So time to get out, right? So I'm just saying I'm going to get out probably like, I'm thinking Sunday. Another thing I should mention. This is the partner's likely going to leak. It's going to leak by Saturday or Sunday. You're going to hear people talk because you're going to have a lot of, there's going to be a lot of marketing material coming out. So when that starts getting printed this week, you're going to see a lot of marketing material getting printed out on Thursday, Friday. That's going to drive either the price up or drive the price down. So be on the watch because we're not going to have a podcast on Thursday or Friday. So just pay close attention to the Verge subreddit this week, especially when it gets to Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. I'll report as much as I can up until Wednesday, but you are going to see some leaks. And if that happens, that's either going to spike the price of Verge or it's going to drop the price of Verge as soon as people find out. So just be ready for that because that's going to happen. It's no one can keep a secret. It's just the way the world works. Okay, Qtum at $13. We got OhMyGo at $9. Ontology at $3.71. Ontology has gone up significantly. There you go. Spit it out. Significantly to $3.71. It's up 10% today. It's the other big winner. Got Icon at $1.99. Got Nano at $4.84. We got Steam at $1.81. We got WAN Chain at $3.69. We got BitShares at 13 cents. That's actually a pretty good price for BitShares. Our chain at 95 cents. Dogecoin at 0.2 cents. So we are not in panic mode, which means when Doge is low, that's when you can tell the market's pretty stable for the most part. We got Augur at $24. We got Ardor at 25 cents. Got Loopring at 40 cents. We got Pivx at $3.84. We got Golem, 23 cents, up 15% today. Way to go, Golem. Got Bat at 18 cents. We got Gas at $15.36. Got Mixin making a move today. Holy crap, up 42%. XIN is the abbreviation. What is Mixin? How we've never seen this. See, this is what happens when I don't look at the coin market cap every day. There's new coins that pop on there. I'm like, where is this? I would have probably known about this last week. This is why I like looking at it every day, guys. So literally was at 200. Wait, what? Mixin. Wait a second. Wait, no, no. Okay, wait, no, no. Mixin is at $373. What did I say a while ago? Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. So it's up 42%. It's at $362 right now. Well, technically $373. Yeah, it started off at 2,000. What the hell does Mixin do? Let's go over to social. What is Mixin? They don't have a Reddit. Let me see here, guys. I'm not seeing anything about Mixin. Oh, they have an iOS app. Yeah, we'll look at it later. They're not speaking to me clearly. Let's just go to the website. A T-powered PFT DAG network that connects all existing blockchains with unlimited throughput. All right. Well, good luck with that because you barely have a website. And now I'm looking at your white paper, but yeah, we'll look at this next time. It's out of my price range anyway. $372 per coin. No thanks. Even if you are up 42% today, no thanks. Substratum at 37 cents. Saltcoin at $2.10. Got Skycoin at $15.18. Got Redcoin at 0.3 cents. Stay away from that one. That's a crap coin. Funfair at 2 cents. Wow. Funfair is just taking hits, man. That's not even cool. That's not even cool anymore, man. Funfair. And I think that's it. That's all we got for Coin Talk. Sorry, I kind of bubbled that with a lot of Verge talk, but that's the coin that's hot this week, honestly. That's the one that I'm looking at carefully. Just because, you know, Verge has been good to us. I'm not going to lie. You know, Verge made a lot of money for a lot of us. It continues to make money for me. It's just one of those that's just going to... It's always going to be one of my favorite coins just because... I mean, I don't care what people say about it. It's made me money in the past, and I can't turn my back on them. I like the community, even though they don't take themselves seriously, but I feel a lot of them, you know, act childish, which is totally normal. All the whole entire Reddit acts childish, you know, every subreddit acts childish. So you can't hold that against them. I just like to see a coin that no one believes in succeed. It's just nice seeing that. And they get shit on the most definitely them and Tron, I would say for sure. But probably Ripple more, but still, them, they do a lot too. With that, let's get into our main topic. Today, we are covering the coins of the summer. And you're probably thinking, wait, what is that? What is that, Carr? Coins of the summer? Well, these are the top five coins that if I was you, I would hold this summer. And when I mean summer, I mean from today to the end of August. And you're like, whoa, that's a long time to hold. That's what I'm saying. These are the coins of the summer. Nobody on the road, nobody on the beach. I feel it in the air. The summer's out of reach. Empty lake, empty streets. The sun goes down alone. I'm driving by your house, though I know you're not home. Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time. It's that time. Oh yeah, can you feel it? Oh, I know you can feel that. What is that sound? What is that sound? Is that? Wait a second. Is that summertime? Oh yeah. Summertime. So let's get into it. Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you. But no, it's summertime. It's summertime. It's summertime. It's summertime. It's summertime. And when we do summertime, it's our yearly thing, right? We got to look at the coins. We got to look at the coins of the summer. Who are going to be the standouts? Who are the top five coins that are going to stand out this summer? And before I get into this, there's going to be people that are going to be like, oh, Carr, here you go. Doing your predictions again. You usually get them all wrong. That's not true. I don't get them all wrong. We are yet to be determined for my 2018. I'm just going to say that. That's still going. Last year, we did our top five. What do we do? Top five coins that are... We're going to look at all that at the end of the year, guys. Don't worry. I'm going to audit myself. But coins of the summer. These are the coins that I'm predicting to be the top five this summer. And I'm looking at them... And I'm looking at history because these are the coins that have been known to increase significantly at some point during summer. And when these do that, they usually double or triple. So if you hold these coins, chances are they're going to double or triple. I know a lot of you are like, well, the charts say something different or, you know, they're not coming out with anything. I'm looking at history, so... I'm very much a historian when it comes to cryptocurrency. And when I look at that stuff, I really look at it and I really pay attention to it. And these are the coins that I'm predicting that are going to have big summers. Not just because they had them in years past, because they have. But I'm also looking at the outlook on what they're rolling out this year. And so just listen. That's all I'm going to say is just listen. You'll be surprised to some of the ones I say. So now some of these coins you're going to be like, what the hell? Why'd you leave them out? Or why is that coin in there? It makes no sense. A lot of them are going to be pretty obvious. And even my number one coin that I'm going to suggest that you guys hold this summer is going to be really obvious. But with that, let's jump into it. Let's jump into our top five starting now.
Number five, Tron.
All right, I can hear the emails coming in already. I know you're gonna. I can hear them. They're gonna be like, "Car, are you kidding me? Tron, really? Yes, Tron, really." And I know, and I know, and I know, and I know. But hear me out. Hear me out. So the last time we've seen Tron get really high, that was at 21 cents. Actually, 25 cents. That was back in December. We really haven't seen Tron come up other than 4 cents here recently. And then it's been at 3 cents pretty much the entire time. Before that, last year, it got released in September. So it never even had a summertime to even shoot up. Now, I'm going to explain why this is going to be an important coin to hold during the summer. And just hear me out. So if you go to Tron's website, they are currently creating a countdown for their Tron network. And I know you guys will say this, countdowns don't work. What if they don't meet it? This is not going to work. I will just say this. Tron is very ambitious. Justin Sun is a very ambitious dude. He just is. Hopefully one day I get to meet him and have a conversation with him. But he's just ambitious. He just is. He's a millennial just like us. He believes in blockchain technology just like us. He also wants to create this entirely new set of smart contracts, you know. So this is going to be an ecosystem that you're going to be able to create these dApps on, these Tron dApps. And it's going to be available to anybody to create on there. They're doing something different, guys. There's 51 days and counting. This falls right in the middle of around June. So I'm serious when I say this. If you could purchase Tron right now at 3 cents and hold for the summer to the end of August, I can almost, I'm not going to say guarantee because I feel like that's just not something I want to say, especially being, you know, because this is not financial advice, but I will say that there is no other coin to hold but Tron during this time frame right now, because I have a very strong feeling that it could get to 20 cents at the very least, 15 cents, and could very well cruise all the way up to, you know, a dollar by the end of the year. I'm just saying because I've seen this happen time and time again, and this coin is pretty much set for liftoff at any point this summer, pretty much from today onward till the end of August. I really feel like this coin is the next one that's going to surge incredibly fast. And it's just ambitious. It's an ambitious project. I was at 50% with what Tron was doing 6 months ago. Now I feel like I'm at 75% now. I feel like this team has delivered time and time again. And if they have a countdown set for 51 days, there's no doubt in my mind they're going to make that countdown. So that's why I have them at number 5. And another reason I have them at number 5, because they're priced at 3 cents. And the upside is worth a tremendous amount if it hits. Because you could triple, quadruple your amount by the end of summer. This is why Tron is my top 5. Or in my top 5. And at number 5. Coin of the summer. With that, let's get on to number 4.
Number 4, Neo.
So honestly, this was a no-brainer. And I know a lot of you are like, really, Car, a no-brainer? Yes, it's a no-brainer. It's currently at $51 right now. Yes, that's pretty high. But the upside is tremendous. Let me tell you, if you like making money fast, then Neo is the way to go this summer. So if we look at when it came out, it actually came out in October of 2016. If we look at last summer, it literally, no, this is the price I'm giving you. Last summer at this time, it was at 17 cents, literally 17 cents. Okay, 17 cents last summer is how much Neo cost. Do you guys get that? 17 cents. Neo cost 17 cents, currently at $51, right? During the summer of April last year, it went from 17 cents to 50 cents in May, just shot up. Because like I've said, in April, crypto goes sideways. It goes sideways, but it slowly trickles up. By May, it's starting to soar. Not soar like an eagle. It's starting to soar a little. So It's more like a pigeon. Let's just say it takes flight like a pigeon in May. It's still going. It's going up. Hopefully it doesn't get killed, but I mean, it's better than April. Okay, so anyway, let's go back to the coin because I sidetrack really easy. Okay, here we go. So in May, it got to 50 cents. Now in June, it crosses a dollar. No joke. Now, I know some of you are going to say, oh, Carr, well, there's different things that came out that year. And yes, I understand. I totally understand. I get it. It was such a big deal back then. Yes, NEO was a big deal back then. And I understand that. And I get it. But if we look here further, in June, it literally goes to $6 by the middle of June. Takes a small dip back at $5.96, goes back up to $9.64. So you literally go from 15 cents in April to $9.64 in June. What is that? Okay, so that's a big increase right there. But not only does it keep going up, it keeps going up. So it goes from 9 to 14. Then by mid-August, it hits $47. And where are we at right now? We're at $51. Since then, it's been kind of hanging around 20 bucks, 30 bucks, pretty much all of December, hanging around 30, 70. Then by the time it hit the crypto highs here in December and January, it got to $161. It peaked at 162, then it's crashed back down to as low as 44 bucks. Right now, it's currently at $51. It's on its way back up. Just letting you know, it's gonna get back to that 100. It's gonna get back to that 160, 150 dollar range. It's just gonna get backed up. It's just what's gonna happen. I can tell you already. Now, a lot of you are like, "Well, what do they have going on? What are they releasing?" The fact is that China is backing this coin. This is one of the, not coin. This is one of the few blockchain technologies that China is backing. There's other people that claim that China is backing them, but they are very integrated with what China wants to have the blockchain do for its country. And NEO is one of them. I'm just saying, this is why it's number four. It's currently at $51. I think you're going to see three times the amount here in the summer alone. I think by the end of the year, it's going to be sitting somewhere between $300 and $400, $500 around that range. And yes, people like to compare it to Ethereum. I know you guys are probably still, you know, upset with me because I didn't compare it to Ethereum during the show, during the podcast that we did back in January. Go check out that episode of NEO. This is why it's number four. I think people are going to make a lot of money this summer on NEO. This is why it's number four. Okay. With that, let's go ahead and get into our number three coin right now.
Number three, Ethereum.
All right. You knew it. You knew I was going to put this one in here. This was obvious. Ethereum. I mean, if we look at from a year perspective, it always shoots up in summer. It just does. It does. And it's done this time and time again. Every summer since what? Let's see here. Since 2015, it has always shot up. Well, technically, it was in September when it came out. Well, no, that's a lie. It was in August when it came out. It shot up immediately. So we're going to count that. In August of 2016 again, or not even in August, in May of 2016, it shot up to as high as 1480. I remember that day. So if we look at it from April of 2016, it goes from $7 in mid-April, right around this time, and shoots up to $14 in May. Then continuously hangs around there till about August. This is in 2016. And it pretty much stays at that range the entire year. Then in January, it pumps again, like it usually does in January and February or early January. Then finally, in April of last year, it goes to $49. And then it continues to ride from $49 all the way up to $373 in June. I don't know if you guys remember that, but I do. And then it lands somewhere around $300 at the end of August. This is obvious that it's going to pump here again. Now, if we're sitting at $300 last year, And right now we're currently sitting at $300 for Ethereum. Where do you think it's going to be at? I'm just saying, where do you think it's going to be at? I personally think it's going to be in the 2,000 to 3,000 range. That's where I see Ethereum being at. Right now it's $398, and I see it continuously going up. Now, I know a lot of you are like, whoa, Card, right now it's all red and it keeps going down. And I keep telling you, if it's under $400, buy Ethereum. If it's under $500, buy Ethereum. If it's under $700, buy Ethereum. If it's under $800, buy Ethereum. I think when it gets to the 8 to whatever range after that, I think it's a little shaky. But I think under $800, under $400, especially right now, is a perfect time to buy Ethereum. And if you were to buy some right now, you are going to see a significant amount, you know, here in the middle of June, in the middle of July, at August, you're going to see a spike, and that spike is going to be incredibly high. And you are going to be at a position where you're going to be like, oh crap, I can sell my Ethereum coins, you know, at $2,000 or $3,000 here in June. And you're going to be wondering, what do I do? What do I do? You're going to be wondering, what do I do? What do I do? And it's going to be one of those things where you're going to have to decide. Because by the end of the year, like I've been pegging it, I've been saying Ethereum's going to be at $7,000 to $8,000 by the end of the year. I really believe that. And I know it's kind of hard for you to see that right now at $398. I know a lot of you are saying, well, look at the circulating supply. And I know this. But if you look at crypto and you look at its projections and you look at where everything has to be for it to get to $1 trillion, then this has to go up. Everybody's projecting crypto, the whole entire market cap being at $1 trillion this year. And in order for that to happen, Ethereum needs to climb pretty high. Now, I will say that if you don't get Ethereum, it's perfectly fine. But I really strongly believe that Ethereum is going to get a major price here during the summer. We're going to be looking at $2,000 to $3,000 during the summer. And people are going to be like, where did that come from? It was literally $398 2 months ago. Where's the value coming from? And I'm telling you, it's just going to keep on increasing. You're never going to see Ethereum at $400 again. Guarantee it. I think if it ever gets low again, if we do get to $7,000 by January or by the end of the year, you're going to see Ethereum crash back down to around 800, maybe 700 probably, but you're never going to see it at 400. Guarantee it. Anyways, with that, let's go on to our number 2 coin right about now. I got my eyes on you. You're everything that I see. I want your high love and emotion endlessly. I can't get over you. You left your mark on me. I want your high love and emotion endlessly. Cause you're a good girl and you know it.
Number 2, Ripple XRP.
All right. You guys knew this was going to show up in there because Ripple actually excels during the summer. It literally does. And it has in the past. And this is why I continuously see this as a trend. So, yes, hear me out. So if we look back way when Ripple came out in the summer of 2013, it was literally at 0.5 cents. Now, that next 2014 in March, it was at 0.08 cents. This was in April of 2014, 0.08 cents. Does it remind you of anything? It kind of reminds me of Ken, just saying. So that's how long these type of coins take. Okay, so 2014 in April, then we slowly, by the end of summer, it's sitting at 0.5 cents. Went up significantly, I think. Okay, so now we go into 2015 in March, in April, still at 0.8 cents. What happens? That summer, something crazy happens. It shoots to a penny. It shoots to a penny in 2015, then it completely crashes back down to 0.7 cents by the end of the summer. It got to a penny though. So all the people that were holding a year ago at 0.5 cents, it got to a penny. A lot of people cashed out and they thought that was it. Well, lo and behold, next summer, 2016, it gets to 0.7 cents again. But this time, it dips. It dips in April for them. And it gets to 0.7 cents and it stays there. But lo and behold, that summer, what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens in 2016. It falls flat in 2016. There's nothing that happens in 2016. It literally goes down. But that year, a lot of people realize Ripple is not going to be what everybody thought it was going to be. And guess what happened the next year? People jumped on board in May and it climbed to 36 cents. A lot of people FUDded on Ripple in the early days, but at the end of March, it got to a penny in 2017. Then it climbed back up to 3 cents in April of 2017. Then again, it climbed up to 34 cents in May, 25 cents, 20 cents, 25 cents. Then it crashes back down to 16 cents. The fact that it peaks last year, everybody knew that was coming at 36 cents in May of 2017. This is everybody saw that coming. Same thing happens this year. So if it's sitting at 36 cents last year, where are we sitting at? 50 cents now? What do you think is going to happen to Ripple during the summer? I can almost guarantee you it's going to be sitting at $1.50 this summer, if not even higher. And a lot of people cashed out at three. And I think more people will cash out at a dollar. But I significantly feel something is going to happen with Ripple this summer. So to hold right now at 50 cents, you're getting at a really good price. A really good price for Ripple. Because this company, Ripple, they are not letting up. They are going to do whatever it takes to be for them to become a powerhouse in crypto. They want to become a powerhouse. They have central bankers backing them. They have central bankers within their company. They have people at all the positions that you need. Wall Street loves Ripple. CNBC loves Ripple. The fact that they're trying to go to Genesis and they're trying to pay them off to get on their exchange. The fact that they're trying to go to Coinbase, paying them to get on their exchange. They're not accepting any of it. Now they're working with other places and they're trying to convince people that Ripple can be the security token. They're trying to get it passed by the SEC as a security token. So that way people can start purchasing this coin. Now, do I think Ripple will win long-term? I don't think so. And I really don't want them to, because this is everything what I don't like about cryptocurrency is what Ripple's trying to do. But will we make money from it? Of course we will. We will, of course. And if we can get to a significant amount by the summer, which I think we can, well, you are going to be sitting really pretty right now at Ripple. Now, a lot of us got in really early. When I bought my first Ripple coins, it was back in April of last year. It was like 3 cents, 4 cents. And then when it climbed to 36 cents, I sold a little bit. I'm not going to lie. And then I didn't hold any during June. It wasn't until I saw it climb back up in August, September, where I was like, fuck, I'm going to have to buy some more Ripple again. And sure enough, I bought some more and I held throughout the whole $3 price, held. And on the way down, I'm still holding now. I could have sold at $3, but I didn't. Because I knew it could get even higher if it got on Coinbase in March and in April, which it turns out it's probably not going to show up in Coinbase by the end of this month. It's not. It sucks because I feel if Coinbase wouldn't have fucked up earlier in the year with Bitcoin Cash and with pissing off the SEC, with just a lot of other boneheaded moves they made, it could have brought in Ripple and it could have drove this currency up. Now, that's not to say Ripple can't turn this thing around. It could very well show up on Coinbase during the summer. I don't think it will, but I wouldn't be surprised if Ripple shows up on Coinbase. This is what everybody wants. People want XRP on Coinbase. You know, people that don't even support XRP want it on Coinbase. People want to purchase it. So I don't see why they wouldn't do it other than it not being a decentralized token. But we will see, guys. We will see what will happen. I am willing to bet that it is going to increase in price significantly. There I go with that word again. It's going to increase in price. And I think it's going to increase in price just enough to where you're going to be like, I'm glad I bought some at 50 cents. So Ripple is our number two. This is one that it just excels during the summer. During 2016, it didn't. And very well, this could be the off year, but in 2014, 2015, it excelled. In 2016, it didn't do anything, but it's because it really had a downer year that year. We look here in 2017, and it's just everything's lining up for Ripple at this point, and the stars are aligned for it. And I think we're going to see another pump by the end of the year, for sure at $3 by the end of the year. I think we could even get any higher, probably reach even $7 or $6 or $5, you know, by January of next year. But I think you should still hold, because I can totally see it pumping here pretty soon in May, maybe even get us to $1.50, and then a nice little sell-off, and then for it to climb back down to 50 cents, and then a rebuy back in, and then continuously get ready for the big pump in January. I think that's just going to happen, and it's not too far-fetched. Okay, with that, let's get into our number one coin you should be holding this summer. Let's do it.
Number one, EOS.
Come on, this is obvious. This is obvious from the start. You guys, I bet a lot of you thought I was going to say Verge. I could tell. I could just feel it. I could feel like you guys thought I was going to say Verge. Of course I'm not going to say Verge, because technically it wasn't in summer when that happened. Well, I guess it is, but I'm not saying Verge. It's EOS. This is just obvious. Should be obvious to a lot of you. I've talked about it multiple times in this podcast, why it's going to surge. It came out last year in 2017 in July at around $1 and immediately spiked up to $4, just automatic, quadrupled the amount within 24 hours, it seems. Well, no, not 24 hours, a couple days. Then after that, got to $4, crashed back down by the end of summer at around $1.27. Cool. That's what happens with crypto. It gets really high, pumps, crashes back down. So it pretty much stayed at $1 for the entire, well, no, not really. It crashed back down to 77 cents in November, then climbed back up. And then December, we saw those bumps, $8, $10. Then it's got as high as $15, $16. That was a lot. I thought it was overpriced back then. And yeah. So and then it dropped back down to reality. $6, $5, $4, and then now it's currently at $5.88. Now, where does this put us for this year? This puts us at around June. Everybody knows their token sale ends at the beginning, or actually it ends in June. It actually is not too far away. We are less than 1 month, 45 days away. This is what we call a big pump. Now, you know how I was saying that it, you know, there's really only certain things that could possibly happen with EOS, and go back and listen to the old EOS episode where everybody knows what's going to happen. Block One is the company. They're the founders of EOS. They're creating this blockchain, this new blockchain. It's an equal opportunity, broad distribution, transparent blockchain. We all know what's going to happen. It's a month away. People are going to be buying EOS tokens at a maximum right now until it gets released totally. And what's going to happen after that? I don't know. But you are going to have to register or claim your EOS tokens before June. And we all know that there is not much of – people just don't know what's going to happen. But I do know one thing for a fact. After June, we don't know, but before June, I do know one thing for a fact. EOS is going to pump. EOS is going to pump so high, people are going to be left wondering why they didn't buy it. It's going to pump up until the last week of May. That's when you'll see a sell-off. And then after that, who knows what's going to happen. But this is why I have it as a number one coin of the summer, because there is this uncertainty of what could happen. Now, this could potentially reach bigger heights than any other coin this summer. And I mean this very carefully, because it's $5 right now. It's very possible that it could hit $25 to $50 per coin EOS, and that's a huge gain. It's $5 right now. We could see it climb up here in the next month or two, right before June, right before you have to register and claim your EOS tokens. And you're probably not going to get a lot of help with that. You are going to have to do so many different things. But just remember that if you do decide to hold through June, that, you know, they could become frozen or non-transferable. Just letting you know. That's just what could happen. So you need to make sure you stay on top of this. You do your own research on this. But I am serious when I say this, that it's going to pump. Now, there's only there's only three or four certainties where you know something's going to pump. We knew Verge was coming. Right now, it's currently at 9 cents, and it's climbing. It looks like it's going to climb to 10 cents. Crazy. There are certain certainties that you know. We knew Verge was going to happen this year. We know Ripple was supposed to happen in April, March, somewhere around there. We were supposed to get on Coinbase. It didn't happen, but we thought that was going to happen, so a lot of us invested. EOS is another one. We know this is going to happen. We know it's going to pump. This is what it does. So I will say that if you're looking to make some money this summer, look no further than EOS. This might be the biggest gain of them all, honestly. I think Tron would be a close second, but EOS would be number one that you are going to see this climb to stratospheric heights. I'm dead serious when I say this. This has never happened before. There's never been anything like EOS in crypto before. There's some stuff that's similar, but to see this long of an ICO is just crazy. So this is why it's our number one coin of the summer, and this is why people are going to make a lot of money with EOS. We will see what happens. We are going to be talking about this most definitely during the summer this year. I'm looking forward to the summer. This is going to be one of the most fantastic summers of crypto yet. And I think a lot of people are going to be making a lot of money with coins. And these are the top five that we're looking at. These are the top five that I am holding. I still need to purchase some EOS, but that was always a plan. Buy EOS late in May, early April, and then hold for the pump. Yeah, we're going to touch the sky.
Keep blowing and lightning.
Guys, I fucking missed it. I've missed it so much, and I was only gone 2 days, but it feels like a lifetime in crypto. That's why you gotta hodl and stay strong during these times, because you never know what's gonna happen around the corner. Like, who would have thought Verge would be pumping right now, going on its way to 11 cents? This is insane, but it's only gains like this that happen in crypto. That's why millennials from around the world are saying, fuck the stock market. I'm invested in crypto. Buy Bitcoin. Save the world. See you tomorrow.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Thriller Podcast with Carr Gonzalez. Remember, Thriller Podcast is not financial advice. Everything Carr said likely won't come true. It is up to you.